just like the defense. Man, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, what do you want to get into?
I don't know. I was hyped for the throne.
I can tell you came in hot.
Yeah, I feel so much.
I heard thrones. I heard this. Oh my, I can't miss that.
I feel so much more informed now.
Yeah, I mean, are you hyped? What were you going to be more sad over, Endgame or Game of Thrones? The battle for Sunday.
I'm Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
If I'm trapped with one for the rest of my life, it's Game of Thrones.
I'm the same way. I like the Endgame stuff. Like, I get it. It's okay, but Thrones is my jam.
Keep on passing, you selfish bitch.
Sorry. I didn't realize you had the same thing. Yeah, I forgot.
Now that Jam's gone, feel free to cuss if you're allowed to cuss or whatever.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah.
I'm all for a good cuss.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this podcast you and Luan are putting together.
Yeah.
Like, y'all were a lot of fun to watch, you know, just like locker room videos, stuff like that. Y'all had a lot of fun. I'd imagine the pod's going to be kind of the same vibe.
Yeah, so it's called The Den Podcast.
Okay.
You know, I'm factual. I get with Wolves. We call everything kind of The Den where we work out at Banner. But wherever we're working out, we just call it The Den.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're going to kind of do it. It's like a mixture of things, a mixture of inspiration. So I've always wanted to do a podcast for like a few years now. I've always been started off being like Tim Ferriss, then Joe Rogan, and Chris D'Elia now, The Fighter and the Kid, Ben Greenfield for performance stuff.
Well, like, you're natural because podcast, you totally came in and took over this podcast, which is fine. We don't care.
I'm so passionate about getting
Thrones. You came in and you're just like on it. You're just ready.
We love it.
But I just love it. I love podcasting. I love listening all the time. And I've always wanted to do it. I've never pulled the trigger for whatever insecure reason. Mm-hmm. I just never pulled the trigger until this past year. I was down with the idea more and more. And then a couple teammates around the building would just mention, like, you know, Comp, why don't you have a podcast?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
What do you mean? They're like, you'd have a good podcast. You're always talking. You're always talking shit. You're always messing around doing other stuff. Provoking conversations.
Yeah.
Would you rather stuff? Just a bunch of things all the time.
Yeah.
And so when I kind of got that affirmation from peers that are like in the same field of work that I'm in, that kind of allowed me to be like, yo, I'm going to go all in about this. Yeah. And then when I was talking about it, Taylor wanted to do something too. He wants to do like shorts and things like that with some humor and use his personality, which he's a stud, you know. I mean, you guys see him around. He gets the city. You call him dad for whatever reason.
That's been one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's crazy. But he does awesome. And he wanted to be all in about it. And we've grown to be like best friends. So we were like, we're just going to do it together. And I'm glad. It's like I wish I would have started a long time ago, but I'm kind of glad that this timing happened, because if not, I would have been doing it. It wouldn't be me and Taylor. And I feel like I think it's dope that we're doing this thing together.
Yeah.
And so basically what we're going to do is it's going to be us two. And every episode we're going to have somebody different, kind of like a Joe Rogan-esque type of feel.
Okay.
Towards a different leader, expert in any industry, an influencer. And it's not like we always have to have heavy hitters or anything like that. Like, yeah, we're going to have people on that are like, oh, man, it's going to be awesome to hear from him.
Right.
But whether it's small business owners or smaller local stuff, that people that just need more of a voice or are very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I was at my girlfriend's Bar 3 party, Christmas party over in December, and I was talking to this, I call him the dick doctor, but he, like, does surgeries on people in, like, you know, your private areas.
Yeah. Sure.
And we're talking to him, and I'm kind of telling him how we're going to start this podcast. I'm like, yo, I'm going to have you on. Like, who wouldn't want to know about this kind of stuff? Because I'm asking him, you know, so how does it work when you put that in? He's like, he says his favorite surgery, not in like a, you know, no, in like a no homo type of way. His favorite surgery is
not
like
erotic.
Giving like function to somebody who's like paralyzed from the waist down below, giving them function, right?
I'm right.
Like, well, how does that even work? Would you just like, he's like, well, you know, where you have like your testicle, you put in a nutshell like a pump in that you would just grab and squeeze and pump.
Oh.
And it would pump it up.
Wow.
So like, oh, a, so
oh
like
my God, it's Reebok.
Like a pump shoe. And I'm like, yo,
because,
but that gives you like an idea of just different insightful people that will have, and it'll be around stuff around like stuff that we're involved in, like longevity and life, performance, recovery, musicians around the area. I mean, we're in Nashville. It's not going to be hard to get people to come here. Like, the first thing we did, I don't know if you guys seen us, we have this bus.
It's
like a Dale Earnhardt bus. I'm cool with Dale from being on the Redskins. He's a huge Redskins fan.
Okay.
I show Dale, texting the pic, and he talks about how awesome it was and how we need to get something lined up. So we'll have people like that, but we'll also have people that are just very insightful that, you know, it'll give, it'll add value to listeners. And we will also bring on our, you know, personalities with keeping it humor and asking all these insightful questions and just kind of being the whole, the boys mantra we go by.
Yeah, yeah.
Having them in the den. Probably have some whiskey sitting on the table.
Sure.
Guard down. We're going to go high quality. Yeah, we're going to go high quality with it, with videoing and be really engaging on social media with digital content, Instagram, all that stuff. So
cool.
We're excited, man.
It sounds like you got a plan.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you a little worried now that you kind of, you're kind of Taylor Lewan's BFF? Are you a little worried Zach Mettenberger is going to come for you in the middle of the night?
No, I know they're boys. Matt, he's a cool dude, man. We'd love to have him on. I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes. Yeah. You know, I fall in line. I'm not trying to impose.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Matt feels like he has some territory, then, you know, listen, if you want to call him dad, go ahead. I'm not going to call him dad.
It is amazing that he got a – like, grown men are wearing 77 jerseys with dad on the back of it. Like,
dude,
grown men.
It's unreal.
Is he okay
anytime it comes up, I'm just like –
Is he okay with that?
What do you mean, is he okay with that? Well, you ever talk to him?
I mean, grown men calling him dad.
Yeah, he wants that.
He's like, dad's home, Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. I love when he'll write, you know, Nashville, and then new paragraph, something else, and then love your dad or love dad. But no, he's fun, man. He's fun to be around. I think it's going to be awesome. He's super into it. We'll have to figure things out once season and stuff happens, because it's not like we're going to do stuff that, say I'm on the Titans again, and to where we're going to, you know, have anything mess with focus or give any perception. So we'll go about it the right way. It's going to be fun, though.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. Like, I am going to, as soon as that thing goes live, do you have a time frame when you know?
I think we're going to start recording and filming here in 2 weeks.
Okay.
We're getting the bus. The bus is getting done as we speak every day. Taylor goes over and checks on it.
So
we're
is doing it going to be like a lounge inside the back of it or something?
Yeah, so we're ripping everything out. We're going to have, like, gray wood flooring. We're going to have, like, insulated wall, you know, whatever you call it, insulated drywall, whatever it is, put in. Framing around the bus windows. A fireplace is going to be in there.
It's going to be glorious.
Comfortable seating.
It'd be some bearskin rugs.
Some chandelier, possibly.
Yeah.
Some chandelier lighting. Some, like, whiskey lights, possibly.
Are y'all going to do everything in, like, velvet bathrobes?
Just that, like, would be funny.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And the backdrop might just be facing to where the camera sees the front of the bus behind us. To know that we're in the bus.
Yeah.
Right.
Cozy feeling around us.
I like that.
So,
is it still going to be mobile? Like, are you going to be able to, like, drive it on location?
I believe we are trying to get it mobile, but that'll take longer than us getting it.
Sure.
I mean, what kind of permits do you have to have a fireplace mobile? Like, a working fireplace?
I'm not sure. The stuff the hoops we're going to have to jump in is, you know, using names that are already surround the bus. So that's kind of what we're trying to get involved with now, using that kind of likeness. Finding some intro songs, like making sure that's clear. But it's fun, man. It's been fun. It's been fun trying to put together.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Kept me busy. Yeah. I'm unemployed, if anybody's looking.
You mentioned that you had some good Would You Rathers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any handy that you can pull out right now?
Maybe. It's some weird ones, man. I don't want to just come in hot. Like,
light it up.
I don't know if you've listened to our podcast at all before, but we come in hot with a lot of really weird garbage. So feel
free.
There was one. Would you rather? And this is erotic.
That's fine.
Most would you rathers are. Would you rather? So we'll just say your significant other. Would you rather have sex with your significant other, and this Taylor's for men. Would you rather have sex with your significant other with your mom's brain in there, so she's the one that's aware, with her senses, with her consciousness? So your significant other's body with your mother's consciousness, or
she's in my significant other.
Your significant other, you're having sex with her body, but it's your mom's consciousness,
and the memory will stay with her.
Or have sex with your mom's body with your significant other's consciousness.
Oh lord,
you know what, I don't want to play this game.
They share a mom.
Is that too much?
No.
Listen. Now, this is what's funny. They share a mom. They're brothers.
Yeah.
Their mom is an avid listener of the podcast.
She may be watching right now.
Oh,
so
I'm like, Will, I cannot thank you enough for how awesome
this is. My wife may also be watching right now.
This is wonderful.
Choose carefully.
And with that, and with that note, I want either Keith or Michael to answer this question.
Well, I think Mike has to.
We need some answers, boys.
Okay.
You go first.
Y'all want me to go first so I can make it a little bit easier?
No, I'll just rip the Band-Aid off, and I'll do my significant other's consciousness. I'll take the trauma and save my mom the trauma.
Yeah. I'm going to do the same thing because I can always close my eyes.
That is an excellent point.
I can always close my eyes.
Blackout curtains.
I can't make her not remember. Yeah. You know?
I'll tell you what, though. You're not going in there blindfolded, so you're going to have to see something.
I don't know.
You're going to have to feel around and get that thing rolling.
I can't Bird Box challenge this thing. Come on.
I think I'm gonna have to. Oh shit!
Are you gonna piggyback?
No, I'm gonna go the other way.
Oh,
because I think it's gonna be more awkward for you, being that you have seen your mom naked. I think it's more awkward for you going forward. You know. I don't know. That's a hard one.
That's a good one. That means it's good.
Yeah, it's good. I think I'd rather be able to see my fiance naked and never have to see my mom naked ever again. Or ever.
Yeah, but
I don't know why.
Where are you at? Again.
Every holiday, every Thanksgiving, Christmas.
She's just like making mashed potatoes.
But at least someone is sharing the misery with you. Like someone's sharing it with you.
I'll take significant other consciousness with mom's body. I'm sorry. I agree. I can't do that to mom's brain. She had to put up with me as a child.
She's a sweet, sweet lady.
I don't need her to put up with me as an adult.
Every time she like sees you at like holidays and stuff, there's just like a little bit of sadness in her eyes. Like,
but to be fair, your mom's already seen you naked numerous times. And
Not recently.
But I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not making Christmas dinner and like, oh, I didn't have any pants on. Sorry about that, mom.
Your mom hasn't seen you naked in your 30s, boys?
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with you guys?
All right, this is football and other family words. Thank you.
Jesus.
I'm my girlfriend's body with my mother's consciousness.
Wow.
Okay.
Explain your decision.
You know what? You guys make it hard because you guys bring up some great points. And I don't want to deviate from my first answer that I always gave.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like, I can't help it. I can't help you have to see that. But I will not go down the rabbit hole of, you know, my mom's in her 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
See, mine's in the 60s, so, I mean, I don't know what's going on.
We're worried about winter's coming. Gravity has come for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we need to do a follow-up podcast next year with our moms on and find out what they want to say.
No, we're just
going to
do the Mother's Day podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Mother's Day podcast.
That's next month.
We've talked about
Happy Mother's Day.
A Mother's Day podcast where our moms come on the podcast and just tell embarrassing stories about us. That might have to be canceled if this happens. I don't know.
Depends if they made it this far in the pod.
Yeah.
I need to know, on average, how many house cats could you carry at one time?
How many house cats could I carry
at one time? How many house cats?
Look, you got to control them.
You got to control them. They can't be just flying off.
Okay. I think eight.
Eight house cats. That is wild. Could you imagine holding eight cats?
I think eight. I think I could have 1, 2, 3, and then 6 right here. But if I wanted a bunch, I couldn't go one. I feel like it would be too hard to like.
Are you fingering the cats now?
Maybe I think I'm petting or scratching the cat.
I
would need one more to have it and like cram it against the other one.
Right.
That cat's
like. I think
like
my strength would like through their midsection.
Sure.
I would just handle it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
If you
Maybe
had,
I had to go six though.
If you had wide receiver gloves, would you be able to hang on to the cat's tails long enough while they're flailing and scratching the shit out of you?
No. See, I think that's harder. Maybe I brought a different dynamic doing this.
Yeah.
No, you have the correct technique here. Yeah, if you're carrying them like beer signs, that's gonna get out of hand.
I don't think you're getting more than six on that.
No.
Three, like
maybe
two,
four.
I'm thinking, one cat per hand by the tail. There's no way.
Yeah, because they're probably going nuts.
Yeah, if you've got them by the tail, they're going crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's change gears here.
You don't want to talk about cats and moms?
Would you rather? I can't help. I gave you that.
Listen, he came in hot, and it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
And we're there now.
He came in hot. Damn near ended the show. Let's shut it down.
The one sponsor we have, which is our buddy who sells shirts, is now pulling out of the show because of that. But we're good.
Can we ask you about the Fortnite competition that happened before the start of the season? Do you remember that?
I didn't partake. I'm not a Fortnite guy. PUBG.
PUBG's better, by the way.
I thought y'all did a Titans Fortnite thing.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Explain why, because I don't like Fortnite either. I'm a PUBG guy.
Explain why I like PUBG better?
Right.
Well, I feel like there's too much of an animated kid-like feel in Fortnite. Compared to PUBG, you hit the ground. The first time I hit the ground in PUBG, you're scared.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you're thinking, I'm trying to gather tools to survive. And in the beginning, if it must be the lone survivor and I'm crawling on the ground, then so be it.
To me, there's nothing more.
Fortnite, they're ready to just go and, like, you know, show off and do the little, you see all this damn dancing all the time for the little white kids, you know, the Fortnite dances.
The backpack kid
dance. It's ruined dance cams in arenas for the rest of us.
Because they just do the same one.
They do the same
My boy Matt Ioannidis from the Redskins hit a little Fortnite dance after a sack. I had to get on him the next day.
I like that you're policing it, too, because it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Is it the flossing? Is that the one that the Fortnite dance?
And there's the other one that I'm not even going to start
to do.
The backpack
kid
dance.
The other one is the Turk, because Turk on Scrubs did it, and then Fortnite decided to do it.
To me, there's no more unbridled fear when you hit the ground in PUBG, and you're laying, like, under a tree or something. Somebody comes blazing up in a Jeep, and it's looking for shit around you, and you're like, do they see me? Should I start shooting?
PUBG, and that just doesn't happen in Fortnite.
No.
There's none of that survival feel. PUBG, it's you're surviving.
It's all run and gun.
Yeah.
So.
So there you go.
Keeping with the video game theme, I noticed on Twitter you played, it looked like you were a big fan of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Did you finish it? Series. Yeah, oh yeah.
Listen, Keith and I, for sure, have played the absolute hell out of it. I think Keith is actually on a second playthrough, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal game.
Great. It's fantastic.
I can't get enough of the game, and it really actually kind of bothers me when I see people criticize Red Dead as being too slow.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like, I mean, I get if it's not your type of game, but to me, the reason why the game is paced the way it is to tell a story. It's not all run and gun. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. One of the recent articles I read, I think it was from Polygon, what the author was giving Rockstar a hard time because they're like, every time you loot somebody, like, the animation has them going through their pockets. I like that little detail.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
You know, and that's at that moment is when you gotta cipher and filter out these people who get online and act off and just react on it. Like, to me, that's like, you know, it's somebody coming on and hurry up and saying something about, you know, something in a football game.
Yeah.
And they don't know. But what I'm saying is they're reactive, like, they're just not, it's just not their game. To me, it's like the greatest game of all time. Red Dead, to me, is my favorite games I've ever played.
Yeah, great. For sure.
I love the story. And I think people who type those stupid reviews, and it's stupid if you type any of those reviews about Red Dead. But if they type those
meet
reviews.
Meet me outside.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Meet me outside. We're at Corner Pub. What is it? 151?
Yeah.
Fifth Avenue.
That's right. That's Come on down.
But those people who write that, they just, they're so into the game, they want to know what the next mission is, the next story. Because sometimes me, I'll be so, like, amped up to know what's coming at the end of a chapter to, like, I want to get through.
Yes.
I want to get through these little quick missions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still won't skip it, but I'm, like, antsy to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll stay reserved. I see the long game, the big picture.
Yeah.
These other people who want to get on the computer and type, they're just very reactive. They're too emotional to be on. They're too emotional to be behind the keyboard.
What's more annoying to you, the uninformed video game review or the sports hot take artist?
Sports hot take.
Yeah.
Sports
it's
hot take.
Pretty bad.
And they're not all bad. There's not a cookie cutter response to anything. Just period in the story. There's just not.
Yeah.
But there's so many out there because it's such a cool space to be in. And everybody wants to be in that space, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Can I ask you a football question?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you give us a good Bo Pelini story from your time?
Yeah, I probably can. Let me think about that. Bo is a savage.
Yeah.
Do you guys run any like video like during your podcast?
Yeah, we've
you
got.
You need to find, and what this one wasn't even at Nebraska. Well, Bo Pelini, Texas A&M.
Okay.
So you need to look up. And Bo Pelini, it was Youngstown State versus North Dakota State in the semifinal game, I think 3 years ago. Referee threw a pass interference call on Youngstown State when North Dakota State was going in. They were, I think, in the red zone or maybe out of field goal range, right?
Okay.
And they ended up getting a first down, and I think it was a PI call in the end zone. And it was a terrible call. It really wasn't PI.
Yeah.
Bo loses his shit over, you know, a lot of stuff, but this really wasn't PI.
Right.
And my man Bo loses his mind so much. I think they score the next play and end up ultimately winning the game.
Sure.
The game wasn't over.
Yeah.
They still had to kick off, and they still had a two-minute drill. But Bo was losing his mind so much to the ref that him and his brother Carl, Carl's a maniac. Carl's a real maniac.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the defense, right?
Yeah. Defensive coordinator. Awesome, dude. I would take an arrow for the Pelini family.
Yeah.
But Bo loses his mind so much on the sideline that he ends up getting a penalty for like this sportsmanlike, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct on the sideline, basically, which hurts them on the kickoff, and then they get backed up even more, and they can't even run plays, and they just lose the game.
Oh my God,
that's Jesus,
brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
No, there's a bunch of good ones. There's one. So I'm playing against Texas Tech, I believe. I'm a freshman, a redshirt freshman, so my first year playing. I miss a tackle. I guess I'm back. He caught a ball in the backfield. I was one-on-one around the numbers. Missed a tackle. And I think he goes in to score. You know, I'm already shook. I'm, 18 years old, like, coming inside. Like, I'm playing with, like, you know, the big dogs, right?
Right.
Come back over, and I'm, like, already, like, puppy dog fear. That's what you just know how they work. Carl is just punching me in the chest. Like, middle school fucking play. And I'm just like, damn, am I even good enough to even be here?
I have to think about my whole life now.
Yeah, but so much happens in that moment with coaching and stuff like that that goes on. Like, he brought me in the next day, and real apologetic. And, you know, that stuff happens. Like, that's constant in the sports world. That's not just the Pelini's.
Yeah.
But Bo's just hilarious. So one time, like, in Dominican Sue, we were playing Virginia Tech Hokies. It was on my birthday, and it was my freshman year. And we end up losing a last-second game. They go on a two-minute drive, throw a freaking – we were playing cover two for some reason. They hit the soft spot in between the corner and safety on a vertical, march down the field on us. Tyrod Taylor scrambles around last minute, throws in the end zone. They catch the ball and win the game. It was like 17-16. But during that game – and Dominican Sue, I guess, was maybe doing his own thing. I don't remember. It's kind of blur to me, being young and everything. And Dominican Sue, I guess, was kind of doing his own thing and wasn't playing, like, within the defense. Dude was a savage. You guys know Sue.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Carl looked down. He's like, I want him out. Get him out, Bo. I don't want him on my fucking defense. Oh, wait, no. This is Bo yelling this to Carl.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Carl's the coordinator. Bo, head coach.
Yeah.
Get him out of the fucking game, Carl. And Carl's, like, squatted down and, like, looks over at him and looks up and goes, I need him. And never takes him out of the game. Like, how are you going to take Ndamukong out of the game?
Right.
Like, I'd be standing back there sometimes, and this was either my freshman or sophomore year, and he, like, looks back at me. He's like, hey, I'm going to take your B gap. You take my A gap. And I'm just like, yeah, go ahead, man.
I got you. Now, he was – Ndamukong Suh is possibly the strongest college player I think I've ever seen play football. I mean, he just tossed – he ragdolled guys that ended up playing in the NFL.
Yes.
Did you ever have to go against him in practice in any situation? I guess, you know, you were obviously defense. He was defense, but
no, I got to witness him, like, locking out around 800 pounds on bench press, like,
oh,
locking out like a 6-inch lockout. So you're already started.
Yeah.
But the dude was so strong. He never got tired in any work capacity, HIIT training.
Yeah.
The dude ate any workout that was thrown his way. No real stories about me feeling his strength, but the dude is just superiorly strong. Like, Colt McCoy, we're close because he was on the Redskins.
Yeah.
And Colt always gives me hell. I give him hell about that 1 second game where they beat us in the very last second.
Yeah.
They put a second back on the clock and they kicked and win and won. And I just tell Colt, like, yo, I mean, your bullshit interview after the game saying, like, there's an alarm clock as a quarterback going off in your head. There's no alarm clock in your head. You got lucky scrambling, throwing that ball high for some whatever reason you thought.
Yeah.
Instead of just out, hurry up and out of bounds. Like, you had no idea what you were doing. And, you know, he smirks and, like, we laugh about it. He's like, he always gives me crap about when I would go over for Bible study, he'd be like, I'm showing Will our Big Ten championship trophy.
Yeah.
But I would ask him about Sue because Colt was, like, bleeding out of his nose after the game from, like, a concussion.
Oh, wow.
From Sue, like, tossing him around.
Jesus.
He said on the sideline, linemen were sitting there, and they were just – nobody wanted to block him.
Yeah.
And they were trying to find other guys to switch positions to go against Sue. Yeah. The dude took over that game so much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he had, like, what – how many sacks that game?
He had like four sacks.
Four or five, seven or nine hurries or quarterback pressures.
So I'm a Longhorn grad. I went to University of Texas.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But you beat us.
It's like, unbearable for us.
I love Texas. I love Texas. I watched that game and I was like, this guy's completely unblockable. Like I'd never seen it.
I mean, we won without a quarterback. Like, we won without offense. We won because of – or we were in the game because of Sue and our defense.
Because it was 13-12 or something was the final. That
is
crazy.
And our fucking kicker, who's in Nashville, he's actually supposed to come here. This is going to be awesome.
Okay.
He's actually supposed to come here to see me.
Yeah.
To this spot.
Who?
His name's Adi Kunalik, who's our kicker at Nebraska. I think he played for the Panthers for a year or two maybe. I don't know. But he's like a co-owner of Open Doors, a social media platform, a middleman for like businesses and athletes. They do a lot of awesome stuff. But anyway, he's in town. His team's in town for the draft.
Very cool.
But Adi Kunalik, they would hold up a shoe because he kicked it out of the end zone every time he was on field goal. We had him and Alex Henry. Alex Henry was a machine from field goals. Adi Kunalik did the kickoffs because he booted out. Never kicked it out. Never didn't kick it out of the end zone or have a touchback. He had, like, few touchbacks his whole career.
Yeah.
Shanks it on the final drive for Texas, that drive. Shanks it out of bounds, which spots him on the 40. Because there's only, 17 seconds left in the game?
It wasn't much. Yeah.
I mean, we were celebrating.
Yeah, I thought
he kicks it out of bounds, and we're all like, what the f-? And they were like, all right, you know, defense has been lights out. We just got to hold up. They've been lights out. First play, over the middle to Shipley.
Yep.
Larry Asante, horse collar, penalty. Puts them across the 50, bro.
Yeah.
And damn near in field goal range. They get one play. They're in field goal range. Scramble play happens. 1 second back on. I mean, the whole Nebraska, I think, Nebraska, they're – brand changes if we win that Big 12 championship game.
You think so? Yeah.
Bo Pelini, because it was our second year.
Yeah.
He wins Big 12 championship. We go to a Fiesta Bowl probably.
Right.
But we're not 9-10-4 like we were every year, which people wanted his head for that, even though we were one of three teams that were like that.
Right.
But I think it changes the whole outlook of what Nebraska, if we win that damn game, or the next year we go to play Oklahoma, blow a 17-0 lead. I know I'm all Nebraska right now, boys. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm passionate. We blow a 17-point lead. It's 17-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
We lose. We end up losing that game.
Yeah.
We have a couple guests that we have to get on real quick. So if you can stick around, we'll come back to you.
I'll say, hey, guys, I'm here all day.
You can grill them with questions.
But Keith has a really good would you rather that he needs to ask you.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather have all songs that currently exist in culture right now, but they're all performed by Pitbull? Or would you rather have only one Pitbull song exist and they're performed by every artist and they do their own interpretation of it? So one Pitbull song that everybody.
I'm going with option B.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think
just
I'm
the
going
one song?
Option B.
Okay.
Well, the
I agree.
One song
with you.
By everyone else, because if they're allowed to manipulate in their own way.
Yes.
I think I'll take that. I think I would do that.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a would you rather. It was like a. It's like a would you rather one on, like, would you rather be. I'll get back to you. You guys can do your other guys. I'll come more correct.
Okay.
All right.
With some more better rated would you rather.
We'll be ready for you. We'll be ready for
you. You guys come grab me. I'm going to go hang out with a couple of people.
All right.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Will Compton.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, who we got next?
We got Buck. He's sitting over here looking really weird. Like, what is this outfit that you're wearing, Buck?
He looks snazzy. What are you talking about?
That's snazzy? No, it's all wrinkled.
It's not wrinkled.
He's added the beard since we've seen him last.
He's trying to be more and more like Andrew Luck every time that he comes on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, come on.
You're being rude to our guest right now.
I know.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have a microphone, so I can do that.
He can't fire back yet.
Yeah, he better go grab Travis.
All right, we got Travis Haney and Buck Rising coming up. So don't turn that dial.
That got
if
wild.
Your computer has a dial for some reason.
So we all fucked our moms in some way or another.
I know. That got weird.
that got real weird.
I love it.
What?
I love it.
You love having sex with your mom?
No, I love the segment. It was fun.
A little weird. A little weird. I liked it, though. I mean, I like the segment.
Yeah, that went Game of Thrones heavy for a long time.
We got deep.